He is, of course, Elliot Friedman from 31 Thoughts, the podcast, Hockey Night in Canada, and he's a presentation of Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view's better from here. Friege, how you doing?
Good. I just finished a workout. I'm all sweaty and disgusting, which is a perfect way to join the show.
You fit right in. That's how we do the show every day.
Yes.
Did you have your heart ripped out last night, or has the fan entirely left you?
No, you know, I don't know if I would. Like, it was a hell of a game. I mean, what are you going to do? It was a great game. Green made a hell of a play. You know, I mean, look, if, like, I mean, I love sports. I mean, you know, if you, I don't know how, if you're a sports fan, I don't know how you couldn't have loved that game last night. All the emotions, all the twists and turns. Nobody thought the Raptors were going to lose when they were up six. A champion fighting back and ripping it out of their hands. You know, I think if you're cheering for the Raptors to win the series, you still have to like the position they're in. You know, they've got two games to win one. Obviously, Durant's not coming back. It's, you know, it was a great game last night. I think, you know, the Warriors reminded everybody, we've all been singing Toronto's praises, and the Warriors reminded everyone, that they still have something to say about this. And I thought last night was great drama. I don't know how you couldn't like it.
I agree with you 100%. One of the best games I've seen in the NBA in years. It was phenomenal theater. And who knows, maybe we set up for a second Game 7 in sports in North America later on this week. I know Raptors fans want it done on Thursday, but boy, that would set up for some sensational Father's Day viewing, sir.
Yes, it would. And, you know, it's funny. Like, could you imagine? You know, I was talking about it with like, my uncle is a day one Raptors season ticket holder. And we were talking about today, like, what it would be like if there was a Game 7 on Sunday night. Like, that would be, you know, I remember that. I'm old enough to remember the Jays in 92 and 93. And sometimes we suffer from recency bias and how tough a ticket that was. Like, the Jays used to have marketing that told them that they could fit 80,000 people into their stadium. Like, when they were at their height, there were 50,000 people every night at the Dome, and there were 30,000 people who wanted to get there and couldn't get there. And that was in the marketing standards by those days, which are totally primitive to what we can do now. You know, you forget that was 26 years ago. How many people could the Raptors fit into that game on Sunday night if they have one? Like, it would be the biggest ticket, I think, in Toronto sports history. Maybe the biggest ticket in Canadian sports history. Everybody can argue about it. But just imagine what a scene that would be if there's a Game 7 in Toronto on Sunday night. But I know the true hardcore Raptor fans, they don't want any part of it. They'll take a Game 6 victory on the road.
Elliot Friedman with us here on the program on Sportsnet 650, and we transition from talking about an entertaining game last night to another one tomorrow night that could be quite dramatic with Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. What's your read on the way this series has played out and what we could see tomorrow night in Boston?
Well, you know, generally my predictions are garbage, Brennan, but I'll try this out. You know, I mean, look, I thought going into the second intermission of Sunday night, the Blues were in a great spot. Yes, they were losing, but 5-on-5, they were dominating the Bruins, and they were in control, and the only goal that had been scored was a 5-on-3. And you don't think in the third period of a potential clincher, you're going to see a lot of calls. So I really thought St. Louis was in a great spot. And then Carlo scored that fluke goal, and the Blues even admitted today, and I was traveling yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to talk to them, but chatting with them today, they admitted they lost their composure. You can say they panicked, you can say they deflated. Whatever the case was, they weren't the same. And then Kuhlman scores to make it 3-0. They make it a little bit interesting at 3-1, but they didn't have it. And I think they really feel that is the biggest thing they have to worry about in Game 7. You know, tomorrow night on the road in Game 7, there's going to be a moment in that game where maybe more than one, probably more than one, where things go wrong. And they are going to have to handle it a lot better than they did. Because, you know, the Bruins never panic. They never doubt. They're a machine. And I'm really curious to see how that is going to be for the Blues. Have they, you figure they've learned their lesson, they've overcome a lot to get to Game 7 of the Cup Final, but that is the thing they felt they have to change.
Off the ice, one of the big stories this week was Jeff Skinner and his new eight-year, yep, $72 million deal. How do you think this is going to affect the market going forward, and maybe specifically for the team in Toronto with some of the contracts they have to try and get signed?
I think that what the biggest thing that's going to do is the structure of the contract. I know everybody looks at the $9 million AAV, but if you really look down at the structure, that's the big deal. $15 million combined signing bonus in the two potential lockout years, although I don't think we'll get there. It's there. $10 million a year, I think, the first 5 years of the deal. Maybe six, I can't remember. But that's, Brendan, to me, that's the big deal here. It's not only did he get 8x9, but it's the way the contract was structured. Total no-move clause. $10 million the first 5 or 6 years of the deal, lockout protection, whether you think there's going to be one or not. That's where I'm hearing a lot. Like the Skinner's agents did a great job for him, and don't think that every team and every agent didn't notice how that went.
The fact that a deal like that would be handed out and that other deals with lockout protection may have in them going forward, Elliot, does that indicate to you that the ownership side of things is also confident that there will not be a work stoppage?
I don't know if I would say that. I think everybody feels there's no reason for one, and I think a lot of people feel there's a path to one, as long as this thing doesn't veer into the ditch. But there are some teams that give them and some teams that don't. Winnipeg doesn't give bonuses. Ottawa doesn't give bonuses. Nashville doesn't give bonuses. But some teams like Toronto, like Vancouver, like Buffalo are not afraid to flex that muscle. So I think it comes down more to personal preference among the teams than it does whether you think there's going to be a lockout or not.
Speaking of Vancouver, Elliot Friedman joining us here on the program. He of Hockey Night in Canada, of course. You said last week the Canucks they're kicking tires on everything. They seem to be in every conversation, whether they can make something close or not. What sense do you get right now of Vancouver and how open-minded Jim Benning is with regards to his roster?
I think he's got a list of guys he doesn't want to move. And the problem, as it usually comes with every team, is that most of the time those are the guys everybody wants, right? So I think that what it's going to come down to is who's he comfortable moving to accomplish something. And, you know, from what guys tell me, he doesn't want to part with the guys that you think he wouldn't want to part with. So that makes everything more and more difficult. Like I'll tell you, I think that they are in on a lot. I think they're kicking tires on everything. I think they're interested in a lot of things. Again, I think what it's going to come down to is what they are willing to part with. Now, everybody is talking about this big Lucic for Erickson thing. My sense is Lucic is willing to do it. I think that there's a couple of factors. There have been rumors that Erickson has said no or won't say yes. That's been disputed to me. I think that people may suspect that's the case, but I don't have any evidence, nor have I been presented with any evidence that he's ever been approached on anything like that before. So I think there's a big difference between assumed and it's actually happened. But I also understand that one of the biggest issues, and you guys have talked about this before, is, you know, what is, since Lucic has an extra year of term and he's got a buyout-proof contract, you know, what should Vancouver get for doing it? And, you know, I really wonder if at the end of the day, one of the things that comes up to maybe see if this goes down the road is Puljujärvi. I don't think he wants to go to Finland. That's been out there. That report's been debunked. but I'm still not 100% sure he wants to stay in Edmonton. I believe the Oilers will be meeting with him or his representatives sometime in the near future to discuss this. But I do wonder if somewhere along the lines he's potentially involved in this conversation to see if it can move along.
Circling back to what you said about it may have to involve someone Jim Benning doesn't want to, I think it's fair to just generalize and say most general managers have a list of guys they'd be happy to move, players they would rather not, and then untouchables. How big of a list do you think the untouchable list in Vancouver happens to be? Do you have a sense of that?
I think there's an obvious guy, that's for sure.
Yep.
There's another obvious guy, that's for sure. I mean, like, who are the untouchables? I think guys are like this is me. I would like to stress this is me guessing. I think Pettersson's an untouchable. I think Hughes is an untouchable. Am I missing anyone?
Is Besser on that list?
I think he probably would be. I think the only reason that you're ever going to hear Besser out there is if they can't get it done. And, you know, I've heard that I listened to Benning's quotes on your station that they will get it done.
And then Horvat's the other, right?
Yeah, I would say the last time I heard Horvat's name in any kind of deal was years ago. I have not heard that recently. So I would think so, but I would also think there's probably a group of other guys there that you guys would really prefer not to give up. And I would think there was a time I wondered if you guys would ever use Demko to get something really good. And I've heard that Vancouver's not really that interested. So I think there's probably a group of the difference between untouchable and really don't want to do it. It probably overlaps to about somewhere between 4 to 6 or 7 guys.
Elliot Friedman with us for a few more minutes here on the program on Sportsnet 650. When we chatted with you last week, you talked about the fact that the Canucks might be a little bit disappointed by exploring some of the value of their players. But I want to kind of flip that on its head in the sense that last year, some of the biggest criticisms of what Jim Benning did on July 1st were the term he gave out to guys perceived as bottom six forwards and also the trade protection, and many people seeing that being a symptom of the fact that the Canucks may not be that desirable a team to come to. How much has Elias Pettersson changed that conversation, do you think, in the last year?
Well, you know, I think Pettersson, I mean, there's no question that a lot of people in the league are aware of Pettersson. Like, one of the really interesting things about the NHL to me, Brennan, is that, you know, the NBA players are really active on social media, during games, watching each other and commenting on each other. I hope that someday the NHLers become a lot more like that, because I know they watch. And I think, you know, I'll tell you something else. I think the smartest players watch. Like Crosby, he watches everything. The Tkachuk brothers, I know they watch everything. And I think there's a lot of other guys like that. I think there's a lot of other guys who watch. And they all know him. And I think at the beginning of last year, when he really came on like gangbusters, I think there were a lot of people watching him to learn about him. I still think, though, this... you have to be in a winning situation before things start tipping over. Like, you guys had a situation earlier this decade where a lot of your guys took less because they thought they had a chance where they could win. I think that has to happen, first of all. And I think the other thing too is that, you know, the younger generation now in the NHL, they're showing that they are going to push the salary cap. Like, it used to be that the young guys never got paid, at least not as much. You got paid on your third contract, maybe. This league is changing. And, you know, Matthews pushed the limit. McDavid pushed the limit. Marner is trying to push the limit. I mean, you have to assume that Pettersson is going to cost you a lot. And I think that is another thing that, and it's even independent of Vancouver, Brendan. I think that we don't like a lot of these teams, they're being forced to change their structures, and they're being forced with a change in the attitude of this particular young generation, and they don't know how it's going to affect their cap and their team building, but they know it is. And I think that's why cap space is going to become even more important over the next little while.
Last one for you. Alex Edler, he's a guy that it's been reported he'd take a little less to stay here. It's where he wants to be, but it's not done yet. Do you feel as though his re-signing in Vancouver is simply numbers and no movement clause dependent, or is it possibly dependent on some other moves that Jim Benning is trying to make?
Well, I think that when you say it's simply numbers and no moves, I don't think it's that simple. Like that's a big deal. We talked about the salary situation a couple minutes ago, but also that situation with the expansion draft, that is not a small thing. Like, I understand, like, in terms of everything with Edler and the Canucks, if there's one thing, I understand the Canucks' fear with that expansion draft. And that's one of the situations, actually, with Lucic, too. Lucic has a no-move clause, which means he's not eligible for the expansion draft if you trade for him. And I think that I've been told a couple of teams have looked at that. So let's just say you're Vancouver. If you're going to make that deal for Lucic, and so you don't know, because technically, although I think there's these nudge-nudge, wink-wink agreements all the time, technically you can't ask Lucic for 2 years if he's willing to waive for that. So, you know, like, what? Say you keep Edler and you keep Lucic. Like, now you got two spots maybe that you're looking at you have to protect for your expansion draft. So I understand the issue on that. I do think, I've said this before, I do think this has been a harder process for the Canucks than they thought it was going to be. And that, I don't know where it ends up. We probably don't know. I don't know. We've got 2 weeks to figure this out. But I think that it has been more difficult than they expected.
As you always are, sir. Always more difficult than we expected.
I try to be.
Hey, have fun at Game 7 tomorrow. It's always a blast. Doesn't happen all the time. And hopefully you're going to get to watch another one on Father's Day this weekend.
Look, man, if I say I want a Game 7 in basketball, I'll get back to my house on Thursday and it will be torched. you've seen it. Like, I got to tell you, I think this is great. Like, as a guy who loves basketball, the country rallied around the Blue Jays. I thought that was awesome. You know, even though for those people out there who love the Grizzlies, I don't know if we ever thought we'd see this for basketball in Canada. Like, I know I never did. I'm looking at these TV numbers. I'm looking at all these viewing parties. And I am amazed by this. I never thought it was going to happen. I think the thing about hockey is, you know, I want before my career ends to cover a Canadian hockey team winning the Stanley Cup. I don't care which one it is. I just want to see the Stanley Cup won in Canada. But I know this. It won't unite the country like the Jays did and the Raptors have. Because, say, for example, it's the Leafs. People will watch like crazy. They'll get massive TV numbers. But you guys know half the country will be hate watching it as opposed to cheering it.
The Leafs,
so
I'm not sure.
I think this is awesome. Yeah, I think this is awesome.
Excellent, my friend. Thank you very much for doing it.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great week.